we're gonna get going here with our time. Continue to enjoy your dessert and your drink, coffee, okay? It's pretty informal. But first and foremost, thank you for coming and for participating today. Thank you to all those that helped out with the lunch today. Thank you for all of that raw, delicious items for us to enjoy. It's always good to have a meal together, have some time together, sit around the table, be a family. That's what we're going to be talking about today, is building blocks for the family members of the local assembly here in Mount Ridge Bible Chapel. Let me just take an opportunity. I'm going to open up our word of prayer. Let's just do a little opening, and then I'll pass it off to Jack and to let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather together here. Lord, to think about your work here at Mount Ridge Bible Chapel. Lord, we know you are the head. You are the chief cornerstone, Lord. You have put us together in this place, Lord, in this work, for your time and for your purpose, Lord, to honor and glorify you, and to encourage each other and to utilize our spiritual gifts. And so, Lord, as we go through the series of building blocks, and today we talk about what matters, work hard, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to reflect on these topics, Lord, to really kind of do some introspection and think about where we are personally, how we potentially need repair of our work as it were so, Lord, and also to help each other, Lord, encourage each other, Lord, of the building assembly as well. Lord, again, this is your work. We are pleased to be your co-laborers in this work. Lord, you called us to co-labor with you, and so we are thankful for that honor, for that privilege. We just pray that you just strengthen this local body that you have put together. Lord, we give all the thanks in your Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So if you recall back in April, we had the opening of kind of a level set and how we are going to be talking about the building blocks. So hopefully on the table, you have a handout. There are 7 building blocks, which we are going to, Lord, really be going through this year in 2025. It is our goal to have kind of a quarterly meeting like this, have a luncheon together, come and have some fellowship together, and then talk about a couple of the building blocks together. So it is our goal to work through these this year. And as you recall, that 2 years ago, we've been working towards seeking the Lord's vision to transform MRBC, Mount Ridge Bible Chapel. We've had this year for quite some time, and working through that, we talk about connected relationships, love in action, valuing our youth, spiritual gifts, equipping believers, and loving the spiritually lost, all alongside the purpose of Mount Ridge Bible Chapel. And so we are kind of working towards now moving, we're going to continue to think about that. We're not leaving that. We're continuing to think about that. But we had some ministry back last year. We really want to talk about the local assembly and thinking about each one of us as a building block here at Mount Ridge Bible Chapel. What does that mean? And what does that mean for each one of us? What does that mean as unto the Lord as he is the chief cornerstone? So we talked about this slide here. We want to look real quick at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22, and I'll read that for you. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fit together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We look forward to talking about that as we talk about these 7 building blocks. And the question here is, are we, the local body, members of this local assembly the Lord has put us together, and are you, and myself too, are we building up this body of believers with a willing, sincere heart, working hard, honesty, holiness, healthy love, and humility, and heeding the word of God? So we're going to be talking about that. Today we're going to specifically talk about heart matters and hard work. Caden, Haley, and Emily, can you come up for a second? I just want to show a demonstration. Come on up. You're not singing. Come on up.
Oh, they're singing.
It's a brick. All right. So I need 2 of you to put your bricks back together, like this, right? And then here, you put your brick on top. And then you support it from the bottom. I don't know. All right. But what I want to do is just create a visual. As we talk about building blocks, right? These blocks right now, I know there's border, and I know that there's, you know, there's masonry, there's all that stuff, right? But right now, these blocks are all fit together. They're tight. They're supporting one another. They are holding each other up. If we had more, you would just continue to see the strength of the building blocks, not just of one, but of all together compensating the totality of it all. So, you drop that thing. But don't drop that. We're ready to take it. But you know something that we talk about is we really do have to realize, as this picture indicates, we are frail human beings. And our brick, all of our bricks, individually, we all have chips. We all have schisms, if you will. We all have little, you know, fractures going through now. Right? We're human beings, right? But we don't have to be that way. And I think there's an opportunity for us as we go through this series together is to really introspectively think about each of us as a brick, really determine where our little chips may be, where our little fractures may be, because the Lord can change all that. He is all powerful. He can do that. And he can bring that to him, confess that to him, and he can repair each one of us as a brick. And then when he does that, then we become strengthened together, and we strengthen the next brick, and the brick on top strengthens us, and one beside us, one below us, and we become strengthened together. So I think it's really important as we think about the unity of these bricks together, supporting, holding, building one another up. The Lord has to do, as we had just read, we have to realize we have some chips, and we have some little breaks there. That doesn't mean it has to stay that way. The Lord is able, and if we come to him and we realize that, he can resolve that, he can fix that, he can change that in each one of our lives. So think about that as we go through today. But today we're going to talk about heart matters, and Jack, you're going to start with that. Then we're going to talk about hard work. We have two bricks today. At the end of that, we're going to have a time of prayer, and we are looking to be done just maybe a little after two. Okay, so I hope you enjoy the time, and I hope that we are built up as an assembly as we think about these thoughts today.
Reminding of something that will resonate very much with you, Tim, in terms of the military life. Talk about one brick next to each other. Think about it in the military, move the others right away. You're not there to protect yourself. You wouldn't protect the guy on the right of you, you're going to protect the guy on the left. and that's how, like, they just get the building blocks work together. So we were going through who would do each of these. We were in the Zoom session. I said, well, I don't know if I could do the hard work. That looks really hard. I'll do it. But okay, good. So when I saw this, you know, this title of heart matters, I said, well, does that mean that it matters in the heart? Or does it mean that, hey, it really matters what's in your heart? It's actually both, quite honestly. So as I kind of went through these individually, I kind of came up with some different Bible verses. The first one almost encapsulates everything in this heart matters. So we get the first one where it talks about salvation, know the God of your Father. But before maybe we even get into that, let's just do a little bit of a very quick recap of from before the last time. Tim kind of led us in this very clear, you know, introspective look at our own selves. And it's kind of like, you know, repentance is kind of like, you know, bringing ourselves before the Lord. And, you know, specifically, what is in our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls? And When the Bible talks about your heart, it's basically saying, what is that inner core of yourself really made up of? What do you dwell on? You know, where does your heart go? And when I first started thinking about matters of the heart, I don't know why the Lord put this on my heart, you know, to go back to a lot of Proverbs. And this was something I found a preaching message that I had back in 2002. 23 years ago, I talked about the Proverbs 23, where Solomon says, "Hear me your heart, my son, heart, I like my way." So just really focusing on that introspective, that inner core of ourselves. And then also from Proverbs chapter 4, we read the same message. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow springs of life. And at the heart is the well from which all the issues of life come from. You know, if you're focused on violent, blood and gore movies, you know, not really, you know, what is that saying about your inside of your heart? If you're focused on, you know, whatever vice it is that it, yeah, what is that really saying about your inner core, your inner being? So with the first one here, where it says, "Know the God of your Father," this is an absolute beautiful verse that I think we could, you know, encapsulate everything here about the heart matter. And this is actually David speaking to his son Solomon. These are his exact words. 1 Chronicles 28:9. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him wholeheartedly and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts." Stop and, you know, probably should be like a Selah after that, right? "If you seek him, he will let you find him. If you forsake him, he will reject you forever." So know the God of your father. Now, some people may be like, "Well, you don't know who my father was," or "My father was not a Christian." The concept here, what David is saying to his son, know the father, know the God of your father. Second one is to serve him. This one came very easily to my mind. It's like to serve the Lord. Colossians 3:23-24. "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you receive the inheritance of your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." So whether you are a banker, whether you are a retired military person, whether you are a teacher, heaven forbid if you are an accountant, right? Whatever you do, John was just talking about it this morning. Whatever that path of life God has chosen you to go through, you'll be a student in school, in high school, junior high. Do it in serving the Lord. That's where your heart, you know, in other words, if you're doing passing out tracts like you're doing out of, you know, at a St. Patrick's Day parade, you're doing it for the Lord, not for the praise of men, right? Steadfastness. This was a verse I know you've quoted a lot lately, Tim, at the men's prayer meeting. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit with unwavering, with a loyal heart." This was obviously, we know, from David, where he was just so contrite at what he had done in terms of, you know, the Bathsheba with Uriah, and he was just like, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Whatever you do, you know, renew a steadfast spirit within me." Next one is sincerity with a willing mind. So I could not leave out one of my favorite psalms here, right? Psalm 139. Yeah, you go through Psalm 139, the omnipotence, the omniscience, and the omnipresence of God. I've preached on this, you know, in the past. And how does David close the psalm? He says, "Look, you know everything. You're everywhere. You know that my thoughts from afar before I think them 10 years from now." And at the end of the psalm, he just says, "Lord, just search my heart. You know what's inside. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any creative way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting." I think that's a great way to kind of, you know, where is our heart focused on, you know, knowing that, you know, have you ever just prayed that prayer? "Lord, just search me, know what is in my heart, and know I want to search." You know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? And then the last one, because God searches the heart and he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, This is a great verse that I found here from Jeremiah. I, the Lord, search the heart, test the mind, to give every man according to his way, according to his deeds. So, again, counterintuitive, back to the Psalm 139. Where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your Holy Spirit? And, you know, if you know that every thought of my mind, you know, what is the fruit of the deeds going to be? You know, if my mind is off, you know, not focused on him, of my inner core, and it's no mistake that this was the first one, I think, of the building blocks that, you know, Marlon put together here. But it starts individually, and this hits hard. It's very hard to a lot of us. but again, I'm going to go back to this first one. You know the God of your father, serve him. Serve him now wholeheartedly. And how else? With a willing mind. The Lord searches all the heart and understands every intent of our thoughts. You're going to seek him, he's going to be right there for you. You're going to push him out, he's going to say, okay, that's fine, I'll reject. So that's the first thought process that I had in terms of, you know, mending our own hearts and making our hearts right before God. So, Doug, you want to come up? You want me to move that?
Yeah, good. Next one. This is one of those non-topic periods. How do you change what we are in terms of our being a building? It doesn't happen overnight. And in this first section that Jack was giving, I went back and I listened to the ministry that we had. And Marlon DeBender gave it last October. And one of the things that he mentioned was that, do we come and accept the blessing of the Lord in the assembly, but not serve the assembly? Are we just coming to receive? And he talked about, on that verse about the loyal heart, he talked about, is our heart divided? In other words, are there things that have taken away our hearts from the Lord? These are questions that we answer for ourselves. But again, building blocks, you know, they can crumble. So we need to be really true when we're thinking about our own heart. Is it with joy that I want to serve the Lord? Am I really serving him with joy? Or am I thinking, well, I hope this meeting gets over? That's the kind of questions that introspective and think about heart matters and what the Lord is doing. I was walking this week and a verse that I was praying to the Lord about this, a verse that the Lord gave me. It's actually a parable in the sower. And I had to go through the whole part. But I would say this, that if it's in your heart to serve the Lord, part of the assembly, to be involved in loving the Lord, that you're here because of that. That's really an indication that you're on the team, so to speak. The Lord said this, he says, other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, 100. So what kind of, you know, producer am I? Am I producing 30-fold, producing 60? Now what I want them. So all that would say that he used the word hard work. Doing the Lord's work is hard work. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, right? Because when you're with the Lord, it's easy. There's a lot to do. You know, people, missionaries get burned out. Why do they get burned out? Because it's hard work. So while I'm going through these, got a few tables. On table one here, I'm going to just mention a few things about laboring with and within the flock. What verse comes to mind? I'll pick course. And then be able to talk about prayer. You know, what verse comes to mind? And when we talk about labor in the gospel, and I'm going to stop at labor in righteousness, because he actually took labor in love and put it into a couple of love. He mentioned that's the motivation. They were in righteousness. Get the Bible song. So, laboring with and within the flock, to think about the things that need to be done. And in principle, we're all part of the body. We all have gifts. We're all part of the priesthood of believers. When I asked them, are you a priest? And I know what they meant. And I said, yes. But not the way you meant it. And we all are doing a ministry, offering up sacrifice. Praise God. So, laboring within the flock, it's not just the responsibility of the select few. It's not just the responsibility of elders. It's not just the responsibility of a full-time worker. It's all of our responsibility to labor hard in the Lord's work. The kinds of things. Counseling. It's tough when you get speaking to people about their personal situation. You know, not everybody can talk to the same thing, but that's part of the work that needs to be done. Visitation. You know, going to visit people. A lot of you are doing more visitation, very encouraging. You know. And so we've been talking about these different categories and bringing it out from time to time. We're seeing more people taking an interest in that's wonderful. You know, visiting people who are sick or grieving. I heard of someone recently that just brought over a meal to someone who is going through a lot and struggling. That's, you know, it takes hard work. You got to bake. You gotta get out of your car, you gotta change your schedule, you gotta get with the person. You can't just drop it off and say, here, this is for you. This is and that takes time. Just keeping this place clean. And you know, the food that's put out there and we're cleaning up afterward. What do we have? A big event coming, right? Vacation Bibles. Many hands make light work. That's what the brethren used to say. I don't know who started that. I heard that 100 times. So, laboring with and within the flock. Have you got any verses here that you thought of? Table one?
15, 6, verse 1.
Okay.
We are working together with God, and you can talk about the grace that you receive from God.
That's a great verse. Right? Yeah. We're not doing this in our own strength. We're workers together.
Hold on, I don't have my phone.
Yeah, sorry.
That each joint supplies my body needs to build it up. I don't know where that is.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the thing.
Whichever.
Yeah. Joint. We supply something to build one another up.
Get together the love. Okay, talking about prayer, we had this was mentioned. Spending an hour in prayer on Saturday is great. We can test that the men come and they come on Saturday morning to pray, and you come apart from that meeting. One of the brothers was saying, you know, God is changing us. We are feeling more together as we pray. That's great, but Arnold was reading that. That we're supposed to be praying about everything. That if you look at the things that the Bible talks about to pray for, we pray for spiritual growth of the Lord's work. We pray for family members, for our neighborhood, for missions. We can pray for the country, our government, pray for the sick. so much that needs prayer. A lot of times when we're praying, we feel like we're going to pray longer. Others, it's just, you know, another prayer. But labor in prayer, what really convicted me is, have you been on your knees shedding tears for an unsaved soul? Has it moved your heart enough? And you rub shoulders with people all the time in the world that are going into a lost eternity. John was telling us about so many thousands of people that not only went into eternity lost, they never heard. Right? It's a real burden. So we want to be people who are examining ourselves in regard to prayer. What my building block for love? Maybe I can give something of my time that I'm spending on something that's really not got eternal value and say, rather than do that, even though I don't think it's wrong, rather than do that, why don't I take that time and do it? The early church was devoted to prayer. We give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Lord. How about a verse? Maybe I stole some of these verses.
Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing.
Be anxious for nothing.
But in everything by prayer and supplication, yes. And thanksgiving, you're requesting.
Yeah.
And then after pray without ceasing, before it, it's rejoice always. And then after, it's give thanks. Give thanks.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, when we talk about missions, really it's the work of the Holy Spirit, as John pointed out. In fact, that's something that I kind of try to remind myself of. I mean, we're spiritual beings in a physical body. We need to be praying constantly and thinking to the Spirit. You know, because we don't know what he might do. And one of the verses that came, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And I had an incident this week. I told some of the guys, I was with a banker, and I just felt prompted to pray. And before I left, I was having, he was loading the Blue Letter Bible app, and he was so excited about it because he apparently is a man of faith. He had too much personal stuff, and he bought and bought his kids' Bibles. And so it was just kind of interesting how the Spirit. You know, we ended for totally secular thing. Now the Spirit turned things around, and it's God's always surprising me. You know, trying to use you. You know, so listen and be prayerful.
Good. Okay, we're going to move on to laboring the gospel, right? And there's so much opportunity. So it isn't just the people that are gifted. And there are a couple of you who I think are gifted evangelists, right? Some people that seem to have confidence in the Lord that you freely give the gospel and when you get that, you know, smackdown. I had it last Thursday, not that I'm an evangelist, but one lady sitting next to me and says, I'm Jewish. And I'm not changing. I'm dunk and I just came to be a friend. but they don't seem to be fazed by that. I could say something, tell you the truth. There are people who really could just plow ahead and you have Larry Dixon in the summertime, I guarantee you, he can plow ahead. So some of you are too. But it's not only evangelists that are doing the work of evangelism. It's for all of us. And we all know somebody that other people don't know that will probably only talk with us. I mean, God has given placed us where we are. We want to labor in the gospel for the neighborhood. We want to think about our circle of influence. One thing that Marlon says, probably are not going to find your greatest influence among everybody in the immediate neighborhood of John. He says, but in your sphere of school, where you work, you know, the historical society you go to, you know, wherever it is that God has placed you and placed you in contact with people, those are likely to be the people that still have the opportunity to work, ones that are near you. So we don't give up on the neighborhood, we don't give up on the town. We're doing things, right? Right for the concert Wednesday night. Is there a verse or something pointing out? Okay.
John 4, one sows and another reaps.
Yeah, one sows and another reaps. Very good. I've sent you to reap that which is not reaped. Yeah. Good. And I like the one that Tom gave to pray the Lord of the harvest at some point. Okay. And then just for the last one, labor and righteousness, none of us is perfect. We all have to be disciplined. We have to make an effort at holiness. It's not something that's going to happen if we just kind of by osmosis, you know, read the Bible and expect us to change. We have to be workers together with God. And whatever you bring with you, so when you bring a ministry, you bring some ministry in the Word. If your heart is not right and you're bringing that ministry, you are a weak building block and you're weakening your building. You have to have our hearts right. We have to be walking in the circle. Then the things that we bring, the Lord takes those and uses them. You know, not only spiritual leaders, you know, not only your Sunday school teacher, not only your youth group leader, not only your counselor at camp, but actually all of us need to be righteous in order to be building them. Those are some things about hard work, just to get the juices flowing, to keep you thinking, right? Make a habit of trying to improve your service. Make a habit of working. Okay.
Thank you for this. Well, I've asked that Tom would pray for us. And then Rich Knowles will pray for us regarding hard work. Now, you ended there. I was just thinking, Doug, go back with the first word of each of us is solemn. We want to be solemn, right? We want to be transformed by the Word daily. Where we have those issues, which we all have issues, we all have cracks and go in, and some of us are crumbling, and we want the Lord to protect us. And yeah, we should be praying for that individually, for each other. Then the strengthening of the local work here with a strong, solid building. Lord can do miracles. He can change hearts. He can change each one of us. We just need to also be very transparent about where we are. As we go through these, we talk about our matters and our work. Just need to be really honest. We also have to be repentant, too. It's a heart of repentance. Just come before the Lord. He desires to hear that from us. He desires for that repentant heart. He desires to wonders and miracles in our lives. Will we allow him to do that? Will we allow that to do that for each other and for this local assembly? That's his work. So let's just think about that as we pray. We'll ask Tom first to pray and then we're following.
Father, first of all, we thank you that you are the God of our hearts. Thank you that you blessed us beyond measure through your Son. We thank you that your gift of salvation to us is the driving force of our lives, that we just want to live life filled with gratitude, you, for all the grace that you've given to us and extended to us, because we know what we are, we know what we were, we know how undeserving we are. So, Lord, it's sometimes difficult to even put into words our deep appreciation and our love for you because of the way you loved us, first loved us. So, Lord, we're here putting these matters of the heart because that's where it begins. You know, without a love for you, a deep desire in our hearts to serve you and see others come into that same grace of God that we heard about this morning, not really much is going to happen. It's not going to help us move forward. And we know there are many challenges. We know there are many obstacles. We know there are many setbacks, Lord, but somehow love seems to conquer that all. So fill us more and more with the spirit of your love, the spirit of your grace, the spirit of your abundant mercy towards us. Give us eyes to see as you see. Give us hearts and hands of compassion like you had. Be willing to touch out and touch others for the Savior's, for the Savior and for his desire to have a family that will surround him at that marriage supper of the Lamb, worship him before him. Thank you that you've always desired to have fellowship with creation. Thank you that you, right from the beginning, sought out man, even though we were hiding, and even though we still sometimes hide and turn our back to him. So, Lord, soften our hearts, remind us that it does matter how we look at all here in our hearts. Or sometimes the world takes its place on the throne of our hearts. And it's hard sometimes to do it. You would have us to do. Other times, Lord, if we long to do that, we long to have the Savior take his rightful place on our hearts. I think of that picture of his rights. Who really is on our hearts? He's on the throne of our hearts. The farther side. Lord, help us let the Savior have his rightful place. Thank you that we can come, we can break bread each week, and how love. Help others to desire to do that as well. To come into the sound of your voice. Be reminded of the love that you have for them. It will transform their hearts, and that will ultimately transform. They can serve one another and serve you and serve those around about. So, Lord, we commit the future and work here that you've given us to do. Deepen our hearts, devotion to you and our commitment to you wherever we are. And Lord, just continually remind us that if we are not our own, we've been bought with a price. Mm-hmm. Therefore, glorify God in our bodies. So, Lord, we worship you today. We exalt you amongst your people here today. We thank you for your presence here by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, ministry that we were reminded of today, that you're a global, that you're in all the nations of the world. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Just help us to take our place and servants of the Lord most God, most high. And we'll bless you and thank you in Jesus' matchless name. Amen.
Our Father and God, we thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers. Thank you that you answer our prayers. Lord, as we offer up prayer, with regard to the effort that we're going through as a chapel, with this building block idea. We just pray that you would help us with our patience as we wait the joyful hope of your answer. Lord, as we consider the idea of hard work, we're very thankful that you've given us hard work to do. You've given us any work. But we're thankful that the work that we get to do serves you, not ourselves. We're thankful that the work that you give us to do helps to bring us together. Lord, we pray that we would be united in all the different things that we have to do to work for you. We think Vacation Bible School coming up just a week from now will be utter chaos here in chapel as we're decorating. And we're very thankful that we get to do that. And Lord, we just pray for the souls of the children that are going to be come under the power of your word. We pray that we would get out of the way, focus for those kids next week. Pray for other labors that we minister through this chapel, the Lobsbury Meadow, the nursing home right on the corner, Lord. We think of all the people that
to visiting with Susan, visiting with Judy, visiting with those that are sick, our brother Jeff, Neil, Lord, is dealing with illness. We think of the labor of ministering, receiving messages on Sunday morning, Lord. We thank you for all those who you've given that gift to, who can preach and pray. Lord, we pray for all of the ministries here. Just being here, being a witness, as we learned today, the word witness is harder. And we thank you that we are all witnesses for the truth of the gospel. And so as we labor together, Lord, may we remember that we are laboring for you and not for ourselves. May you help us with that mindset. And help us always to bring glory to your name in our behavior. Lord, help us also to remember that whether we like to believe it or not, you're always a witness. So when we are with people that are not our church friends, we are laboring because they know that we are believers. And so we pray that you would help us in all of our labors all the time. Lord, to be ever in prayer. Bring all things before you, to be thankful in all things, because we know all things are from you, know that we work all things together for good, and that love you. And we thank you for your leading this morning, this afternoon. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit today. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, and
thank you all for coming. We really appreciate your participation. Keep those handouts, Lord willing. We'll be looking to schedule the next one around September and we'll the next couple together. Thank you to our guests for staying with us as well.
Thank you.
Also, there are some leftovers, some computers here. Do I think anything home? Please do that. And thanks. Have a great week. So, here's what.
Thank you for your hospitality.
Our pleasure. Pleasure.
Thanks for you guys.
Thank you.
Together.
He's like going to be for
a lot of problems.